This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. The big story today, of course, is that there's been a deal made between the United States and Russia on what to do with Syria and its chemical weapons. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov stood side by side today in an announcement about how Syria now has 1 week to come up with a comprehensive list of its chemical weapons stockpile, and then all that stuff will be gathered up and destroyed. Here's John Kerry.
In the case of the Assad regime, President Reagan's old adage about trust but verify, that is in need of an update. And we have committed here to a standard that says verify and verify.
But how do you verify and how do you destroy a nation's chemical weapons? Peter Weber is a senior editor at TheWeek.com and has been covering and writing about this story and joins me now. Hi, Peter. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
How do you destroy a country's chemical weapons?
Not easily, as it turns out. It can be done. Several countries have done it. The United States and Russia are both still destroying their chemical stockpiles a number of years after the Chemical Weapons Convention got signed. But there's two basic ways of actually physically destroying them. The big challenge, of course, is getting to that point, and it sounds like this fast-moving story has gotten to the point where now we're going to try. So that's exciting. Do you want to know how you physically destroy chemical weapons?
Yeah, because one of the things we were told by this administration when it was planning to send missiles into Syria was, no, we're not going to bomb the sarin gas. We're not going to bomb whatever mustard gas or whatever other chemical weapons we have, because that would be too dangerous and would expose the people of Syria to that. Well, we are also told that they've got 1,000 tons of this sort of stuff and maybe some nerve gas and who knows exactly what sort of chemical weapons they have. So where do you take that sort of stuff once you get it out of the country? You don't just take it into the desert in Nevada.
Right.
And what do you
and
do?
Bury it. Well, they actually may not choose to take it out of the country. They've got two choices. They can either, first of all, they have to find it, which is, not easy in a war zone. Find it and collect it. And then they can either ship it to Russia, probably is the most likely place, or as they did in Libya and I think Iraq, when they destroyed those countries' chemical weapons, they built processing plants in the country.
Uh-huh.
So that's possibly the most likely thing if it can be secure enough. They'll build these factories where they'll collect the chemical weapons, and then there's kind of a big, long, expensive, laborious process to dismantle them without getting anybody sick.
Now, you mentioned something very important there, which is finding them in a war zone, because it's important to remember that this civil war in Syria, which has been raging for 2 years, is nowhere near coming to an end just because the U.S. and Russia have an agreement about Syria's chemical weapons, right?
Right, and even when the United Nations inspectors went in to verify what happened in the last big chemical attack, their convoy was attacked. So if they're going to places, first of all, if you've got a big, giant United Nations convoy going to a place, whoever wants chemical weapons is now going to know where they are. So and there's going to be a big risk, first of all, to protect the people, the chemical weapons inspectors. There's going to be a big challenge to keep both sides. Well, I guess not both sides. The Assad regime already has control of it. But we obviously don't want the rebels to have control of it either.
Right.
Trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people with a lot of guns and missiles and rockets and mortars that are going to want these chemical weapons, which is why they may take it to Russia, which has plants already built for destroying chemical weapons. They're actually probably going to beat us in terms of destroying their chemical stockpile first.
Okay, now so
there's 1,000 pounds or 1,000 tons that we think Syria had. To put that in perspective, the United States has had 31,000 tons, I think. And we've destroyed 90% of it.
Yeah, we've been working on it for 16 years, and we're still not through the 30,000 tons, which is amazing to me. As I recall, the last time we tried to do this with another country's chemical weapons was Libya nearly a decade ago, right?
Well, we're still doing it, right. There's an organization, a wing of the United Nations, the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons, I think. They're the cops that go in and destroy the stockpiles. And they were, I think, Gaddafi agreed to give up the chemical weapons in 2006, maybe. And that, you know, they were working up until 2011 when that country's civil strife sort of stopped them.
Right. All right. But in Syria, I played that clip of Kerry today saying verify, but verify. How will we ever know that we actually do have all of Assad's chemical weapons?
Well, I mean, we may not. The thing about Libya, for example, is Gaddafi had stockpiles that he didn't tell the United Nations about.
Uh-huh.
After he was deposed, they discovered some mustard gas that like he had sort of on the sly. So Russia and the United States both have an estimate of how much chemical gas, like how many chemical arms they think Syria have, and it sounds like the estimates are pretty similar. So if Assad comes up with a number that's far short of that, then they're probably going to have to go back to the drawing board or, get him read him the Riot Act.
Yeah.
But this is one of the big challenges. So, and you've got a massive force. I mean, so the U.S. military has estimated that it's going to take 75,000 troops to protect the people going in and destroying the. So, I don't think this is going to be, American troops necessarily, or only American troops. But, you have to go in and. The good news, is, as far as there's any good news in the story, is that Assad has potentially been centralizing his storage, his stockpile, to keep it out of the hands of his enemies, which would make it easier to take care of the chemical munitions.
But still, what I think I heard you just say is that we're going to have boots on the ground to go in and get this stuff.
Well, somebody's going to have to, yeah.
I don't think the American people want to put boots on the ground, even if it is to go pick up somebody else's garbage. Do you?
Well, I don't think anyone wants to put boots on the ground. I mean, like, does Japan want to put boots on the ground? No, I mean, this is, I suppose Russia could put boots on the ground. I mean, that seems like it would be a kind of a win-win for everybody in the sense that, maybe not the Russian soldiers, but it would get the United States sort of out of the picture a little bit, which I think would be popular with the American people. And it would make Russia own the problem.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. After they've done this, and Russia has, let's face it, stepped up and helped come up with this solution, do they now own the mess in Syria?
If they want to, I don't think anyone else really wants to own it. I think Assad ultimately owns a mess in Syria, his country.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the international, I think Russia is probably going to try to get the United Nations to own it. And I guess since it's an international convention that we're working on, I think the ultimate ownership is going to land on the front door of the United Nations.
But it's funny to me because in the beginning of all of this talk 3 weeks ago, it was, Syria, who is Russia's ally, who gets backing from Russia, that gets weapons from Russia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now it looks like Russia's stepping up and, after Putin had his op-ed in the New York Times a couple of days ago, it looks like they may even be winning the publicity game here.
Well, I mean, do you care?
No, I don't. As long as we don't go to war, I don't care.
Right, exactly. So, let him have his victory as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
It's diplomacy. There's face-saving and there's posturing and there's all this stuff. But, I think if you look at the final result, if this works out, and that's a big question mark, this is probably, about as good of an outcome as we could have hoped for.
Absolutely. It does make me wonder if diplomacy was the way we were going to end this thing, why the diplomacy wasn't working a week ago or 2 weeks ago or 6 months ago to settle this entire problem. But that's a question for another day. Peter Weber, senior editor at TheWeek.com. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend. Thanks for listening on the radio through the Envision Radio Networks. Follow us on Twitter at America Weekend and on Facebook, too. America.